scripture lesson today is from Philippians 1, 3 through 20. You can follow along in the Pew Bible, on your own Bible, or on the screens. I thank my God every day I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way with all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ and most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambitions, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering and my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true. And in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayer and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I would not be put to shame in any way, and that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or death. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, you're going to need to congratulate Melissa. This was her first time reading, and she was kind of nervous this morning, but she did a great job. So can you give her a round of applause for what she did? And now she's probably more embarrassed now since I called her out. So we're celebrating the saints today. And in the celebration of saints, we're going to look at one in particular, and that's going to be Paul. So you heard the reading today. It was lengthy. It was that first chapter in Philippians. And it was Paul, who's the author, writing it about 62 A.D., and so he's writing it to a group of people that he's gone to visit in his second missionary journey. And so he goes to Philippi, and Philippi is a city that is on a hillside overlooking a coastal plain and an area where ships would come in and all that stuff. And it was named after Philip, who was the father of Alexander the Great. And so the city had a battle that happened there, and in this battle, it initiated the Roman Empire. So the city in this hilltop became a city that was the gateway between East and West. And so it was a very prominent city, and there's a lot of Christians that settled here. And so when Paul went to visit them, he was just so overjoyed at the ministry that happened in the city. And so I think about Paul and what happened to Paul right now as Paul wrote that letter. Not right now, actually, but when Paul wrote the letter, he was sitting in jail, incarcerated. And so he's sitting in jail. And could you imagine what that would be like? I mean, he'd been there a number of times before, actually. He'd been held in shackles after he was stripped and beaten and then thrown into jail. I mean, he went through some major stuff. And so here he is, just sitting in jail. And I would imagine if I was sitting in jail, I would probably be kind of looking down, thinking, what do I do next? And so think about that. If you were a person like Paul, that for your faith and for what you said, you were beaten after you had been stripped, and then you were thrown into a jail with shackles, hopefully a dirt floor that was cold, and you were left utterly alone with your own thoughts. And it's not unlike some of us now, where we come to a point in life and the circumstances of life get to be so rough and such a struggle that we, like Paul, feel shackled, and we sit in our own jail, and we just look down. The sad part about that is, do you realize that you sit more in despair when you start looking down? It limits your view, and you look even further down. Now, if you see somebody looking like this, what do you think? It's not a rhetoric question. Ask her to participate. What do you think when you see somebody looking down like that? What do you think? Depression, sad. What else? Hopeless. That's exactly it. What else do you see? You got to also see that in that hopelessness, in that depression, in that despair, when we look down, we get a limited vision on what we see and then what we in turn do. And we stay stuck. The cool thing about Paul, as he was sitting in that jail, he didn't look down. He may have for a minute, but he started looking up. Now take this for a minute. Just look down for a second. Look at your feet. They're not too exciting unless you have some pizzazzy shoes. The floor in this church is nothing to look great at. But think. Look up, and what do you see? You see the beauty of the glass and the sun shining through with all the colors. You get to see this beautiful sanctuary. And you get to look at beautiful people. Well, most of you are. And you know what that does? It puts a smile on your face. And so I go back to an old illustration I think I used last year. I remember as a kid, there was this, you know, back when video games were like a joystick and, you know, it would be just, yeah, I can't live with the ones today. Just too old. So it was this one, the flight simulator. And so you're flying in the airplane. And then all of a sudden happens and you start losing pressure. And you're going down. You're going down. You're going down. Until you finally hear, pull up, pull up, pull up. And you start bringing that plane up and you start rising it up in the sky. And to me, that's what Paul did. Paul started looking up, looking up. Looking up to God and what God was doing in his Sure, he was sitting in prison. He had been beaten. All these things that had happened. But he probably was remembering, and this account comes in Acts chapter 16, when he went to Philippi and he got to know this woman, Lydia, who was the seller of purple. And as he ministered to her and brought her to the Lord, their whole family was baptized. And then I could see him sitting there and starting to look up even more because another thing happened. This was really cool. So here's a good story. This is in 16, and this is verse, let's see if I can get it right here. I thought I had it. It's 16, 23 to 31. So this is kind of cool. So Paul, because he had healed a girl who had visions and people were making money from her. And so he cast that demon out. She lost that ability. So people started losing money on her. And so those people went to the magistrates. Hey, this guy is bad. He needs to be thrown in jail. And so guess what they do? They strip him, they beat him, and they throw him in jail. And this is the account. I love it. So it's 23. It says this. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were looking up. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open wide, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoner had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in. He fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So maybe at this point, years later, as Paul is in shackles again in jail, he thinks about Lydia in Philippi. And he thinks about being jailed and how the doors were open, the earthquake came. And the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And so for Paul, he looks at that and he's looking up to God instead of still looking down, instead of looking down at his feet. And that looking up gives him a whole new perspective. But see, what I find in this book, this letter to Philippi, that church there, is not only is it calling people to look up towards God, it's calling people to look around at the community in which they are in. And you know, I like that. I have not once, literally not once, there's still time, but not once, have I said, "God, oh man, I've got to go to First Methodist Church in Capel. Oh no." Every time I think of you all, I thank God that I am here because of all of you all. You are wonderful people. You're wonderful lovers of God. And you love this congregation. And you make the difference in the community. And that's exciting. And so when I think about Paul, he's thinking about this community of Philippi that made a difference in his life and made life good for him just because they had probably just shared with him a gift. And they're remembering him in prayer. And so you got to think that when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're struggling, not only do you have to look up, but you got to look around at those people who are here to help support you. Those five people that help lift you up when you're down. You've got to look at that and allow them to minister to your soul. Because that is what the church is here for, is to lift you up and focus you on God again in the midst of your despair. From where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Look to the hills. Look up. And then finally, there's one other thing I get out of Paul. Not only do you look up, not only do you look around in those times of despair for those who can lift you up, but then you really do have to look inside yourself. You are a piece of your own healing. You got to look inside yourself. And I have no doubt Paul was sitting there in jail, looking up to God, thinking about the broader community that supported him, but then looking inside of himself for the thankfulness and gratitude that God has given him because of grace. So you got to remember, Paul used to be Saul. Paul used to kill the Christians. Paul used to beat the Christians. Paul used to be against the Christian community. Paul used to be against the move of God. Paul used to be in the name of Saul. But now he has become Paul, who looks up to the God through Jesus Christ, looks around to the community of Christ, but then also looks at himself and inside and looks to that power of grace, that power of the Holy Spirit, that power of love, and that power of hope to get him through the situations that he is into. Kind of like me. You know, I've been getting into a little bit of workout again, okay? Feels pretty good. You know, for a lot of years it didn't. I've had back surgeries and all that stuff. And so over the past 5 months, I've been getting up, well, most of the 5 months, okay? Don't talk to Liz. She'll give you a different story sometimes. That's my wife. But I get up at 6 o'clock or 6:15, and I get up, and before I can even think about it, I go do an exercise for 35 to 40 minutes. And so since I just had the cataract surgery I told you about last week and I can see the back, I have not been lifting the weights and I haven't been on the elliptical running real hard, but what I've been doing is I've been going out for walks early in the morning. And on Sunday morning, I've been getting up at 6 o'clock. And well, I didn't this morning. I'm sorry. It's too cold. But the past number of Sundays I've been getting up, I start walking down the road, not roadway, but the sidewalk. And I'll look up and I'll see those lights of the stars. And then I start thinking, wow, God, you made a beautiful earth for us to enjoy. And then I start thinking, no, God, I am so thankful for Liz. She is an amazing woman to me and my partner in crime and life. Yes, I did say crime. She is wonderful to me. And then I start thanking God for being here. And usually, like last night, I thank God that I got to see a number of y'all, and some of you aren't here, at the Taste of Capel. And it was nice last night. So I gave thanks for that this morning. And eventually what happens is I'll start giving thanks, and then my whole continent moves up. And I start giving more and more thanks. And so not only am I looking up to God, not only am I remembering the graciousness of this community, but I'm tapping in to the thankfulness of where my life is right now and what's happening. And that just leads me forth to where I come into here. What that does is it stops me from looking down at some of the terrible circumstances I have been through. It stops leading me to look down, to struggle with despair. What it does, it starts making me look up to God, to you all and tapping in to the thankfulness that is in my heart for what God has done in my life. And to me, that's what this letter is about from Paul. It's encouraging the community of Christ to believe, to love, to hope, and most of all, live in the power of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of one other person that had a real struggle of life. You've heard of this person. This person is Jesus Christ. If you remember, Jesus Christ went to the cross. Do you remember that? Raise your hand. I want to make sure you know that. If not, I need to be preaching something else. Okay? And so he went to the cross. He died on the cross. He was beaten and scourged and died on the cross. But before that, at a table with his disciples, his community, he has this bread. And he knows something's going to happen in his life that's not good. But with that bread in his hands, he gives God the Father thanks for it. And then later on during the table, he gives thanks for the drink, the wine they're about to drink, which is his blood. In the face of utter disaster from perception, he gives thanks in the midst of it. And what I believe he's giving thanks for is that no matter what he's going to go through, God the Father is going to make the difference with redemption in the lives of all. And so he realizes it's not here, it's up there. And it's going to come down to here through the resurrection. And so when you come to the table today, allow yourself to give thanks for this community. Look up to God and say, thank you for what you have done in my life. And thank you for forgiveness and grace. So that this table becomes a table of thankfulness. And your life will also. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for another day of life. And Lord, I know that we all are going through our own stuff. And some of it's good and some of it's bad. So Lord, help us, rather than look down even as we pray, help us to look up to you and see the shining light of your glory come into our lives to give us wisdom and leadership and hope and grace and mercy and thankfulness as we look up to you and go out to be with those we need to be with today. Join us with your presence as we partake together. For it's in Christ's name we pray.